Thank you, James. Well, a little bit of a glitch with the exhorting brother, so some hastily prepared words, but when I say hastily, it was written just recently. But I do believe that all of us, because of reading the Bible day by day in our readings, we're familiar with Scripture, we're familiar with the message that's been given to us. And I thought, just spend a little bit of time in the book of Galatians this morning to think about Paul's wonderful encouragement. And certainly Galatians, as I read through, it's a hard-hitting book. He begins chapter 3, foolish Galatians, and he really, in very strong language, upbraiding them for their lack of faith. But the book of Galatians is about faith, the faith that God calls us to. And I'd like to spend just a little bit of time thinking about our reading in chapter 6 today. And beginning in verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Brethren, if a man, and of course man or woman, and my margin tells me that the word if can be also although a man, giving the perspective that there's always a time when any and all of us will fail and struggle in a fault or in a trespass. So Paul's statement rather than if people fall into a fault, but when we fall into a trespass. And Paul's advice is that you that are spiritual are to restore. There's no mention at all about cut off. It's about restoration. And I don't think for one minute that Paul is meaning that we are to pass responsibility for restoration over to people in the ecclesia that we deem as elders or seniors or experienced. It's not that at all. This is Paul's message to the ecclesias as a whole. The message of Paul is rather you who are spiritual or spiritually minded. And Paul spends a lot of time in Galatians talking about spirit and flesh, that battle that exists in our minds and our hearts, the war that is taking place between what we desire, the spirit of Christ, and what we know lives inside us as flesh. You who are spiritually minded, do I have my brothers and sisters' salvation at heart? Do I care about their journey in life? Well, of course we do. We care about our brothers and sisters. We care about their journey that they have in life. Even though it's different from ours, it's something that we care about. Well, Paul says, if you do care, if you are spiritually minded, if you are this sort of person, help. You restore. And that's his focus there. Ye which are spiritual, restore. So the work is for us, brothers and sisters, to restore. And how do we restore? How do we help out in people's lives? Well, Paul says in verse 2, we're called to bear another's burdens. And that's an example that he gives there. To bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. To bear a burden is to help carry a load, isn't it? That's what bearing a burden is. In so doing, as Paul notes, that we fulfill the law of Christ. And these perhaps are two words put together that almost seem they shouldn't be together, law and Christ. And again, Paul spends a lot of time in Galatians talking about law and the way that the Judaizers had governed everything by law. And what Paul was saying, Christ has made you free. However, if we think that law and Christ can't go together or shouldn't go together, we just perhaps glance back to verse 14 of chapter 5. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, What's that one word, Paul? Love. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. So all of the law, as Bible readers would regard law, it's fulfilled. Just one word in love. And that's the message of the Bible, isn't it? The whole Bible. To bear another's burdens is to help. It's not to take away a burden, it's to bear it. Because if you glance down to verse 5, every man should bear his own burden. So it's not for us to have no trials and no difficulties in life. Of course, humanity brings difficulties. We can't ever be free of that aspect of life. And life is a training ground, we know that to be sure. So God has designed burdens. But burdens not just for ourselves, but for others to see a need. If we think back to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and perhaps you just hold your finger in Galatians and we'll come back to here, but Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41, one aspect of a physical burden that Jesus has called us to bear. And in very real terms, Matthew chapter 5 verse 41 has the idea of this compulsion law that the Romans had. Verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. This idea of a Roman soldier's right to compel a subject to carry his pack for 1 mile. And that was he could do that by law. You, pick up my bag, take it for 1 mile. And Jesus says, I want you to go further than that. I want you to think about your discipleship. It's not about compulsion. It's about desiring to help others. So in a very real sense, practical terms, Jesus said you have to bear that Roman soldier's burden. Not just one as law, but two. Or more, as the case may be. It's not taking the load off the man forever, completely. It's just bearing that load for a short period. Just a mile or two. Back in Galatians chapter 6, Paul, I think, is aligning to restore a brother or sister with bearing a load. To restore someone is to help them by bearing a load. Restoration, therefore, in these terms, is about working together. It's about an understanding. It's about helping. And it's about assisting. And so, as I mentioned before, there's no mention at all about cutting off. It's about restoration. Paul is clear, very clear at the end of verse 1, that help us to be in the spirit of meekness or the spirit of gentleness. There is a danger that we put on size 12 boots and just walk all over the situation. And that's not what restoring in a spirit of meekness or gentleness is. It's not what people would consider to be help at all. And Paul warns us to think about ourselves, lest thou also be tempted. Forgiveness and restoration and gentleness are key. And we have to consider Paul's warning here for us all, his encouragement. Consider yourself, lest thou also be tempted. I'd like for us to conclude with some brief thoughts from Isaiah 53. Because I think Isaiah 53 is all about the burden bearer, the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about the language of how Isaiah has put together the prophecy about the suffering servant. So, just some concluding thoughts from Isaiah 53. And beginning in verse 3, the Lord Jesus, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. People can despise and regard the Lord Jesus. No esteem, there's no value. No value at all in the Lord Jesus. Of course, our danger is that we don't want to hide our faces from him. We don't want to see someone that was despised and see no value in the life of the Lord Jesus. Because the question in verse 4 is, surely he has borne our griefs. Surely he's carried our sorrows. There's a real purpose in the work of the Lord Jesus. There is value. And yet, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. And from an outside point of view, we could look at the life of the Lord Jesus and completely misunderstand what happened. That the events in Jerusalem just before Passover were a great horror. That he was, in a sense, smitten by God. But of course, as Bible readers, we know that's not true. He was smitten by men. And God allowed that. God gave his precious son to man, to the people of Israel, and that's what they did with him. But surely he has borne our griefs. He's helped to carry our load in gentleness and in meekness. In verse 6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And we know that personally to be true. We have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And in the face of that, God has said, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it's Brother Lean Rickmeyer that says that a nice way to consider that is to see that God made Jesus the face. To face our iniquity, face to face with mankind. And what was Jesus able to do for the people that we read about in the gospel? And in healing, and in helping, and in encouraging them. God caused him to face it. Jesus was well acquainted with sorrow, not his own sorrow. He was well acquainted with grief, and not his own grief. It was the grief of others. And God laid that on him to help to bear that load. And of course, right throughout Isaiah 53 is this burden-bearing servant. Just to finish in verse 11, the end there, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. There's another emphasis on this, carrying a load. And he's made intercession for the transgressors. And that's something as we come to share in the emblems of bread and wine, to think about the work of the Lord Jesus and bearing and carrying a load, our load. And I think that really nice poem, Footsteps in the Sand, certainly emphasises the way that Jesus is able to carry people that need it. And our call is, as his representatives, his ambassadors, is to do likewise. And so one of the terms for the Lord Jesus or his work is that of the Comforter, the Parakletos. The one who comes alongside. He comes alongside in the way to guide and to aid us in discipleship. And we know that the Comforter, in that sense, is given a name. Right at the start, the angel said to Mary, his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.